In 1896, America's first public beach was established in Revere, a working-class city 5 miles north of Boston. 100 years later, the city and the beach had seen better days, and both were the recipients of a multi-million-dollar revitalization effort. In 2004, the beach was designated as a National Historic Landmark, and every year since has welcomed entrants from around the globe to the Revere Beach National Sand Sculpting Festival. Only a game's Karen Given has our story.
The kids playing in the surf at Revere Beach on this sunny Wednesday afternoon seem more concerned with digging a hole to China than they are with building sandcastles. But just up the beach behind them, 10 professional sand sculptors from 4 countries and 5 U.S. states are hard at work.
There's no tricks, no magic. It's sand and water. There's nothing else to it.
Meredith Corson flies up from Treasure Island, Florida every year to organize this event. Meredith herself has been a sand sculptor for more than 25 years, and it's now her full-time job. Believe it or not, sculpting sand is a pretty good living.
In an event like this, the sculptors don't have any expenses. Their hotel, their airfare, their food, everything is sponsored. And every sculptor gets an appearance fee. Whether they win or not, they get an appearance fee.
With a $5,000 prize for first place, this is a competition in every sense of the word. Sculptors must do all the work themselves, no hiring younger backs for the heavy lifting, and they have just 30 hours over 4 days to complete their entries. Corson says competition isn't for everyone.
And you know, there are some incredible sand sculptors in the world, but they're not competitors because maybe they don't want to do the physical part of it. So it's not just being a good sculptor. You have to be physical, you have to be fast, and you have to be talented.
Today is known as Pound Up Day. Each competitor is given an 18 by 18 plot and 12 tons of sand, a special variety trucked in from Hudson, New Hampshire. At the sound of a whistle, they cross over the barrier into their plots and begin shoveling. Those 12 tons of sand had to first be moved to the side, allowing for wooden or plastic forms to be carefully positioned in the center of each plot. Then it's compression time. For the rest of the day, a layer at a time, each sculptor shovels sand into a form, tops it off with bucket after bucket of water, and stomps each layer flat like the characters on I Love Lucy stomped grapes for wine. What's left, Corson says, doesn't look at all like a sand sculpture.
Most of them that are using the wood, if you look at them, it looks like a birthday cake. It looks like tiers of a birthday cake or a wedding cake. And then when they're at the top, it's dual purpose. That's also their scaffolding.
While most of his rivals are still stomping, Jonathan Bouchard, or Joby, from Montreal, Canada, has already removed his forms. His sculpture is beginning to take a familiar shape.
I'm building a turtle, but something is going to happen with this turtle, and I can't really say what. Not because it's a surprise. Well, actually, it's a surprise, but it's even a surprise for me. I don't know yet. Well, it's a work in progress, so we'll see what happens.
Joby won this event last year with his sculpture of a fish. Not just any fish. This fish was hollow. Inside its mouth stood the perfectly formed figure of a man. Think Jonah and the whale. It was something no one had seen before, and because the competitors choose the winner, Joby's innovation was rewarded. He says it's nice to be judged by people who know the difference between something new and cheap tricks intended to wow the crowd.
Normally we're judged from people in the artistic
community.
Yeah, that's it. They don't know about the technique, they don't know about a lot of things particular to sand carving.
Further down the beach, Matthew Martelli groans as he lifts yet another bucket of water over his head and dumps it into his rectangular-shaped forms.
Building up the forms, the hardest part of the job.
Yeah.
The nightmare.
If you haven't guessed from his accent, Martelli is from Revere, but he doesn't have a home sand advantage. While most of his rivals do nothing but make ephemeral art out of sand, snow, and ice, Martelli is a painter who only builds one sand sculpture a year, and the backbreaking labor has worn him out.
Will I be tired? I'll be dead tonight.
I got to refresh myself. That's why a lot of these guys, they start carving right away and everything. I'll be carving tomorrow. If I start carving now, I'll probably screw it up.
Many decades, Martelli's junior, Sue McGrew, softly groans as she climbs down her two-tiered wooden form. In a red visor, mirrored sunglasses, and covered head to toe in sand, McGrew looks like she practically lives on the beach. She actually lives in Tacoma, but McGrew didn't exactly come here straight from Washington.
You could say that, because I actually just came from Europe. Latvia, actually. And it's a nice competition, 5-day event. No time limit. It's so relaxed. Kind of the opposite of this, but yeah.
McGrew got her start when she was still in high school, which makes her one of the youngest professional sand sculptors in the world. As a recent college graduate with a degree in stage management from USC, she didn't expect to make it her full-time career.
When I started, it was just such a fun thing. I just loved getting into the sand and getting dirty and making sculptures. But pretty much the economy crashed in 2008. I didn't have a job, so I just started doing more contests and then doing more contests and then doing more sand work, and now it's all I do.
As she shovels another layer of sand over her head, McGrew laughs at her male competitor's obvious height advantage. Maybe as a result, while some choose to build tall, McGrew's forms are wide and lower to the ground. But she's tight-lipped about what will emerge from the sand over the next 4 days.
I'm going to give you the same answer probably everyone else has given you. I'm not sure yet. I'm still thinking about it.
If you're this far on your pound up to where you've moved, you know, 7, 10, 12 tons of sand, you know what you're doing. Because you don't do this and go, okay, what do I want to do now? It just doesn't work that way.
Dan Doubleday has been competitively carving sand for 16 years, and he seems to think his opponents know more than they're letting on. He says it's all just part of the game.
We call it a spart, half sport, half art, because it's a timed event. We're competing for prize money. And yet this part of it, the solo competition, you're going to see some of the finest pieces of art in the world. Probably the best sand sculpting that's ever been done is going to be done here this week.
Really?
Really.
And if I went to another competition, would they tell me the same thing?
No, not a chance. We have talent that we have found around the world. We've been to China, we've been to Australia, we've competed in Europe, all over the place.
Doubleday started building sand sculptures while his kids played on the beaches of California. After a while, he was invited to his first competition, which led to his second, which led to a new career. He helps run this competition with his partner, Meredith Corson, and the pair travel to competitions, exhibitions, television appearances, and corporate jobs all over the world.
Quite a ride since 96, huh? I never left the States until I started this stuff. I had no clue I would travel the world, you know, and they're paying me to do it. It's so big in China that one event, 300,000 people showed up opening day. I've never seen that many people, and they all treat you like, you know, you're some sort of rock star over there.
Organizers expect 300,000 people to visit Revere Beach over the entire course of the 4-day festival, and nobody's treating anyone like a rock star. But that doesn't mean Doubleday isn't bringing his best work. On Wednesday afternoon, his sculpture is nothing more than a round structure with some inverted cone shapes at the top. But he doesn't even bother to pretend that he doesn't know what it is.
So what are you carving today?
Oh. I am carving, I can't tell you that. I mean, that's the, when you get to this level of sand sculpture, you've seen about everything that can be done in sand. Secrets here are the ideas. You don't let it out.
All will be completed and revealed when Doubleday and his competitors put down their tools this afternoon. The sculptures will remain standing until the elements render them unrecognizable, at which point the city will flatten them into an extra soft layer for beachgoers to enjoy for the rest of the summer. For Only a Game, I'm Karen Given.
And for every child on the beach that day stands a castle tall and proud, and the warm wind crawls through the castle walls, and the night folk wake as the warm wind calls at night.
Only a Game is produced by Karen Given and Doug Trabu. Our technical director is John Perotti. Our intern is Allison Gluck. We had help this week from Jared Mooney and from Andrew Kramer at KAZU in Monterey. Our senior producer is Gary Wallach. To view Karen Given's sand sculpture photo gallery or learn more about this week's music selections, please visit our website, onlyagame.org. Our final word comes from sand sculptor Dan Doubleday, who remembers his early days on the beaches of California.
We didn't have good sand there, but I found sandy beaches that I liked, and girls were cute, you know. I was a single dad, you know.
And we'll stop right there, I think. I'm Bill Littlefield. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next week. Still,
when the south wind blows and the air is warm, there's a world that's born.
Support comes from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. The William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people, online at wtgrantfoundation.org. And the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live healthy, productive lives, at gatesfoundation.org. This is NPR.